In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Three in One, who leads us and causes us to confess. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have you ever wondered why, if you've been going to this church more than, you know, twice, I ask you to confess two times, and they sound completely different when you do it? I mean, the first time that we do confession, it's kind of like this, oh, I've been bad. And today, especially so, with the Athanasian Creed going, everlasting fire! Just in case you wondered, that's what's writing here. But the next time that I ask you to confess is a little bit later in the service. It actually comes after the sermon and then the hymn of the day. And at that time, I ask you to confess in a little bit different way. And I say, we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and once a year, like I was saying, the Athanasian Creed. And that confession isn't the same. Or is it? That confession isn't, well, I've been bad this week. But that confession is, well, I believe that there is a God the Father. And I believe that there is a God the Son. And I even believe that there is a Holy Spirit, even though I probably don't quite get what that all means. And we go through this act of confession. And that maybe makes you kind of wonder, it at least made me wonder, well, what does confess really mean? What does it mean for us to confess? If it can mean that I realize that I've been bad, and so I'm confessing my sins to God, and it means, well, I realize that there is a Trinity and a triune God, and this is who I worship. And the word confession actually has to do with your belief. It has to do with what you believe. And so when you confess one of the creeds, you're saying, this is what I believe. I believe that there is a God, the Father, and He is Almighty, and He created everything. I believe that there is a Son, and that He is Jesus Christ, and here's a bit of His history. I believe that there is a Holy Spirit, and He is powering the church right now. That's a confession. And your confession at the beginning of service, actually, it's kind of the same thing, because it's saying, I believe this. I believe that I am a sinful human being. I believe that I have committed sins and that those things grieve the heart of God. I believe that I need a Savior. And so what you're saying when you confess your sin is actually a statement of belief. You're saying, I actually believe that I'm a sinner and that I have a place here. Because if you're not a sinner, well, frankly, go to lunch. Or I guess brunch right now, pre-noon. Go. Because you don't need to be here if you're not a sinner. Now, I can say that because I know you are all sinners. And so I'm not worried about anybody getting up and going to brunch. If you do, we should probably follow you and enlighten you somehow. But we're all sinners here, so we all have a place, and that's what we're saying when we confess our sins. We're saying we believe that we need the gifts of God. We believe that we need this forgiveness of our sins. We believe that we need this power of the Holy Spirit, and we believe that we need all of the good stuff that God has to give us. And that is what we're saying when we say that we confess. In fact, interestingly, the Lutheran tradition is called a confessional tradition. And the reason that we're called a confessional tradition is that it's because how we were started was based on a statement of beliefs. And there are other churches that don't kind of consider themselves that way. The Anglican/Episcopal stuff is a good example of how a non-confessional church kind of works. Because they actually believe that the more important thing that draws them together is sort of this hierarchy, this being church, that is sort of bishops on down. And they say, we're all together, and we can believe different stuff, but we're still all together. And that's actually what caused a little bit of the fissure and some of the strain in the Anglican and Episcopal sort of camps of that tradition. And Lutherans have their own strains, we probably know, because we're very confessional. We're very much like, this is what we believe, and if you don't believe that, we're breaking off of you. And that's kind of an ugly part of our history as who we are as Christians. As we say, well, you don't believe the same way that I do, but it's also a beautiful part. And it just has to do with how we handle it. Because what we believe is the truth. What we believe is this word that comes from God. What we believe is Scripture that we read here every Sunday morning just so that you guys stay up to date on it. That's why we bounce around all over the place. Old Testament, Acts, Psalm, Gospel. It's so that you get this kind of bigger picture of what we believe and who we are so that you can say, this is what I confess. This is what I believe to be true. And this is why I'm here. Because this is truth. And we all probably figure that in a little bit of a different way. Postmodernism. But there has to be some elemental truth that we say, I am willing to confess this. I am willing to confess that I am a sinner. I'm willing to confess that there is a God the Father, that there is a God the Son, and that there is a God the Holy Spirit. And from there, we begin to sort of construct what our confession actually is. And today in this sermon series, what we're talking about is the confession that is found in the Nicene Creed. And we have these three confessions of faith. And they actually start off our big set of confessions. I talked about Lutherans being a confessional church. That's because we have this big book. It's about that thick, and it's called the Book of Concord, which means the Book of Harmony. It's not a hymn book. You could try to sing some of that. I don't think it would work out well for you. But this book, it says these are the things that we believe. And the place that it starts is with the three creeds that we're going to talk about in this sermon series. And the reason that it starts there is that the early Lutherans were saying, hold on, Roman Catholic Church. There's some of this stuff that, well, we want to define a little bit more, please. And yet they still want to say, we're still Christian. We're still Catholic. Have you ever wondered why that shows up in our creed? I had to put the little asterisks on there on all of our stuff with that word on it because people always get confused. Wait a second, I thought we were in a Lutheran church. Why does it say Catholic? And actually, when I got here, I had used the word Christian there instead of Catholic, and then some of you got onto me, and they were like, nah. And I went, fine, we're Catholic. Asterisk, explain it. Means that we're a part of this Christian church together. That even though we have these different confessions, that this is what we believe together as Christians. They're called the ecumenical creeds, which means that all Christians should believe this. This is what defines what a Christian is. And so, if you don't believe the stuff in the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed and even the Athanasian Creed, that, well, you're probably not actually Christian. If you don't believe that Jesus was actually the Son of God and that He has one substance with Him, then that's not a Christian belief. Because Hindus believe in Jesus, but it's weird. And that's why we have these creeds, is to say, this is what we believe, this is how we believe. And the Nicene Creed has a couple of interesting things to it. The first thing that you'll probably notice about the Nicene Creed is that, unlike the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed starts with the pronoun, anybody know? We. The Apostles' Creed starts with I. Athanasian Creed? Nobody knows. We say it once a year. Once. Why would you know? The Nicene Creed, though, starts with we, which is kind of this affirmation that you don't do Christianity by yourself. That this is all about being a confessing community together, that we believe together. And the Apostles' Creed has I, because you have to have an individual part of that yourself. But the Nicene Creed focuses on the we. We believe this together. This is who we are as a church. This is who we are as Christians. We believe these things are true. But sometimes that gets rocky. And it got rocky in the Nicene Creed. You see, the Nicene Creed should actually be called the Niceo-Constantinopolitan Creed. I pronounced that wrong. You'll forgive me. And that's because it developed over time. And there was a development that some people did not like at all. And it has to do with the Holy Spirit, who's kind of the big guy this Sunday. And it is this. If you look in your bulletin on page 8, it's the third article, the one that starts with, "We believe in the Holy Spirit." And it says, "We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son." I know, crazy big deal, right? You probably thought to yourself, "Oh man, that is crazy. Well, how could they even put that in there?" And most of you are like, "What are you even talking about?" It's called the Filioque, which is Latin for "and the Son." And it's this part of the creed where it says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And this was a huge item of debate when this was being written, when this was going through developments, because people were arguing there is no way that that Holy Spirit can come from the Father and the Son. It has to be just the Father, otherwise we're taking our ball and we're going home. And that's what the Eastern Orthodox did. Ask them about it sometime. They'll be happy to tell you. And it goes on. "With the Father and the Son, He is worshipped and glorified. He is spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and for the life of the world to come." And those things are all under this third article of the Nicene Creed, this article that's all about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the guy that powers our church. He's the person who allows these things to happen. He's the one who gives us the power for our confessions to be made. If you look in our Acts reading, that's exactly what he's doing with Peter and the other apostles. And I love the way that this story goes, because it just tells you so much about who the apostles are. Because they get out there and they start speaking to everybody, and people start hearing them in their own languages. And as they're hearing them in their own languages, those people from Pamphylia and from Cyrene and from Arabia and from all over the place are like, "These guys have to be drunk!" Which makes you kind of wonder what kind of a reputation the apostles had. And then Peter steps in. We're not drunk. It's only like 9 a.m. That's later. But he says, no, we're not drunk. We're powered by the Holy Spirit. We're powered by this Spirit that causes us to confess. To say this is true. That this is what we believe. And that these words, while they might just be words, and even if they're translated in all sorts of different languages, what stands behind these words is the same thing that stands behind the words of the Nicene Creed and the Apostles' Creed and the Athanasian Creed. And that is the truth of Scripture that makes us Christians. And so while we might have battles between ourselves as Christians and different tribes and different people do things differently, we still know that this belief is what makes it real. That this belief that we have a Father who created all of this, even the stuff that we don't see. That there is a Son who was a part of that creative process, who left His throne in heaven and became incarnate among us, who was God from God and light from light, very God of very God, who came to redeem us with His death on the cross and His resurrection, and that He will come one day again to bring us into the most massive party. It'll make Pentecost look like child's play. And it's called the resurrection. And until then, we get this Holy Spirit. And even then, we get the Holy Spirit. But until then, we get the Holy Spirit in a specific way that allows us to come together as church. And allows us to confess. This is who we are.